that was fun. So good to have you at our Christmas service. We're going to look at a passage of scripture this morning from Matthew 2. But before we get there, let me just share a little bit about the Christmas story that you've already seen the kids. Isn't it great watching all the kids' personalities? They're a little bit of fun, aren't they? A little bit unusual at times. You never know what a kid's going to do next, do you? So it's all part of the fun. You know, in I want to talk about his presence and that his presence changes everything. His presence changes everything. You know, when his presence came into the world, people began to show up to worship him. They had a desire to be in his presence. Once we have met Jesus, there is a desire to be with him. Is anyone glad that they have Jesus with them? There is a desire to have him in our life. And that's why God gave us his church. Is anyone grateful for the church this morning? You know, God gave us his church because he wants us to have a place where he is the central focus, where we come consistently, week in, week out, to worship him, to show that we don't just say that we're a Christian, we mean we're a Christian. And so it's fantastic to see you all here this morning. And in the Gospel of Luke, which we've seen in the play, I just thought I'd do a little bit of a background on the play this morning. The Gospel of Luke, the shepherds wasted no time in finding Jesus. They made haste, and when they found him, they were satisfied. The shepherds were transformed by the presence of this baby. They were made known abroad how incredible the Saviour of the world was. The Bible says that they actually proclaimed far and wide the message of Jesus. And they went back, the shepherds, to their flocks, glorifying and praising God. Now, these men were the rough and ready types. The Bible says that they used to look after their sheep by night. I think that means that they were probably a little bit smelly. I think it means that they probably weren't dressed all that well. They were a little bit rough and ready. They predominantly lived outdoors and looked after sheep. And they were not the kind of people to put on a show, nor care too much about their appearance or what others thought of them. Yet when these shepherd men met Jesus, they became charismatic in nature. They were deeply impacted by his presence. You know, the gymnasium that I go to occasionally has Australian Football League making an appearance. Some of the players from a couple of the teams, well, mainly the Fremantle Dockers, they rock up there. And there's the guys in the gym. It's normally quite early in the morning that I go to the gym, and they go, "Is that? He looks taller than I thought he would be. He looks a lot skinnier than he does on the television." And they have a little chat about the guy and the guys, and then the footballer's gone again, and life goes back to normal. There's no lasting impact. Big burly blokes are not singing, "I just met the Saviour of the world." No, they have a little chat and they move on. But big burly weathered blokes did come and see Jesus, and they were immediately satisfied. And moves beyond what we would consider to be normal. Shepherds who looked after God's creation were now worshipping the Creator himself. This little guy was no ordinary little man. He was the most significant man in the history of the world. His coming was prophesied about. It talks about it in Micah 5, verse 2. He was to be born in a little unknown place called Bethlehem. Little it may be in worldly importance. Little it may have been in what we would have imagined, some little faraway town in the southwest somewhere of our state. But God chooses the little things of the world, the weak things of this world, to show his glory in all its greatness. From a town of under 1,000 inhabitants in Bethlehem, it is ranked among the thousands because from this town came the one and only Redeemer for every man, woman, and child. His coming into the world could not be denied. His presence changed the course of men and is still changing the course of men now. So will you turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 2? Matthew chapter 2. Let me read a few verses for you, which Josh and Bree did a great job with in the play. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring him word to me that I may go and worship him too." And when they had heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, or was it bronze, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Let's talk about the wise men. The wise men came to see Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born, Matthew 2:1. Now, after. For the most part, we hear that the wise men came to the manger to present their gifts to baby Jesus. But that is not actually what occurred. After, sometime after Jesus was born, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. I think it's great, by the way, that we worship and we have the manger scenes and all the wise men do come. But I'm just stating that what the Bible says is that they came a little while after, when he was actually a small boy. And these wise men, they went to Jerusalem, not to Bethlehem. Jerusalem. See, these men were wise, worldly wise, but they weren't particularly godly wise. They were not like Daniel of the Old Testament. They didn't open the windows and pray to the one and only true God, the Savior of the world as Jesus was. See, Daniel was accused by his co-workers of only worshiping God and not the decree that was at that time, which was to worship the king alone. And King Darius was very upset when he heard that he was going to have to go through on his punishment and throw Daniel into a lion's den because he was his best, most favorite man. He looked, did everything for the king, and he was simply just in shock that he'd made this law. He didn't mind even that Daniel worshipped the God and didn't bow down to him and his idol. And so he prayed all night long as he was thrown into the lions. May your God save you. And the next morning, after a sleepless night, the king races in. And the king says, has your God saved you, Daniel? And Daniel shouts out, my God has shut the mouths of all the lions. Unlike Daniel, these wise men did not have a relationship with God. They were considered wise because they were astronomers. They followed the stars. They came from the east, which is modern-day Turkey, then called Anatolia. They were magi, where the word magician comes from. They were smart, clever, by worldly standards, but they were not wise to God. They did not know where to find Jesus. They had been given a sign. They had been following the star. However, they traveled to Jerusalem to get more specific directions. It was there that the priests and the scribes consulted the word of God. They did not know where to find Jesus. They had been given a sign. They'd been following the star to Jerusalem. And here it is. They find the passage in the Bible. It's probably about 7 meters tall, and they're looking through the scroll. And there in Micah, it says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. See, the most important and relevant information you need for your life does not come from the stars. It doesn't come from, the most important information for your life does not come from Facebook or Instagram. The most important information for your life does not come from the latest news updates. It comes from His Word, the Bible. See, God was using these wise men of the world to demonstrate His overarching power and authority in this world. God can use the most distant person from Himself to achieve His purposes on the earth. King Herod wanted to find Jesus to kill Him. It says in the Bible that he was going to go and worship Him, but we know that he had ulterior motives. He did not want anyone to outdo him as king. His name was Herod the Great for a reason. So these wise men, they were expectant in their worship. They came expecting something to happen. Let's face it, these wise men, even if they were only worldly wise, they had seen this star that they would only know that they would see once in a lifetime. They knew it was a significant thing. They knew that something powerful was going to happen as they followed this star. So even if they didn't believe at this point in time, they knew they had to go and see what this meant. They were the wisest men in all the world. They came expecting. It is reckoned that they travelled approximately 1,600 kilometres on foot to meet with Jesus. They were, the Bible says, exceedingly joyful when they saw the star directing them. And they had a desire to know the truth. Now let me ask you, if these men that didn't really know Jesus at all, but they knew that something powerful was happening in the earth at this time. And if these men made such a huge effort to get into His presence, why don't you and I just make a little effort? Excitement comes from entering the presence of God. The presence of God is vital for our lives. It's why Jesus came as a man. Well, little baby originally, in the manger. The wise men were also expressive in their worship. In Matthew 2:11, the first part of it says, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, and they fell down." They fell down. This word translates to fall down violently and be shattered. It is like a building collapsing. They fell down. They see a toddler and they fall down violently. These men are wealthy, well-to-do, intelligent, measured men, yet they fall down in a heap when they meet with the young boy Jesus. They knew it was going to be special. After all, it was this star that had only come around once in their lifetime. They thought they were lucky that they had this opportunity. Even though this was nothing more than a toddler, his presence overwhelmed them. It is not such a bad idea to allow yourself to collapse in his presence from time to time. It's not such a bad idea to refresh and renew yourself and get into the presence of the Lord on a regular basis, because he is the one who is going to make your life for the next week and the next, because he is the one and only Savior of the world that's come to bring his presence to all men. And so when you are serious in your expression toward God, you know that he is there with you. You will understand why these wise men fell down violently when they met Jesus. There is nothing greater than enjoying the presence of God for yourself. We are demonstrative in our worship as a church because we know it helps us relate with him. We love to actually praise our God and lift our hands. We love to enjoy all that he has done. And it's because of what happened initially at Christmas time that Jesus came to be part of us, that we may have a way through, because he can relate with us. He's a man like us. Amazing grace, how great thou art. You know, I don't know about you, but if nothing else, the Christmas season, we should get grateful for what Jesus has done for us. Just in case you're not sure that the Bible talks about us being a little bit excited about what God's done for us, Psalm 134 verse 2 says this: "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Is anyone pleased that they can bless the Lord this morning? We can lift up our hands and worship him. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people." Has anyone got a clap for me this morning? Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. "I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this moment. I thank you, Lord, that you've shown us the way. I thank you, Lord, that you choose these men that didn't know anything about God. They actually didn't have a clue. They had to go to Jerusalem. And then King Herod, who didn't want to know anything about God, he actually said, well, let's find the scribes. Let's find out where it says in the Bible. So they knew what they should be doing, but they didn't want to. Don't be like that today. Be changed and transformed by the power of God that the shepherds had in their life. Be changed and transformed." You see, the wise men were extravagant in their worship. They were what? Extravagant in their worship. Look at this, Matthew 2:11, the second part. "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Now, prophetically, these three things are representations. Gold represents royalty. Frankincense represents divinity, and myrrh, humanity. They were the three best resources that Persia had to offer. And they had more than they needed. If I could have the music team come, that'd be fantastic. Let me ask you a question. Do you bring your best when you come to worship Him? These men opened their treasures. They traveled with more than they needed, an oversupply of gold for their journey. And here's the thing. Whenever people in the Bible worshipped God, the people gave. They gave of themselves in service to Him, and they brought gifts to Him. It's interesting to me that early on in this passage of this Christmas story, in verse 2, the wise men ask, "Where is this newborn king?" And now, in verse 12, after they have worshipped Him, they are divinely warned by God not to go back to Herod. Before the wise men worshipped, before they entered into His presence, they had to go to other people to find out what the Bible said. But after they had entered His presence, God spoke directly to them. Amazing. Will you allow yourself to be transformed by the presence of God today? God sent His Son, Jesus, into the world so that we could relate with Him. We will struggle to understand Jesus. We will struggle to understand the Word of God unless we are a worshipper, unless we will come into His presence and accept what He has done for us. And once you and I get into His presence, once we have formed the habit on a regular basis, God will speak directly to you.